I know where one of our people is at this morning. Where the rest are, God knows. We pray God's blessing on them. Amen. It's good to have our guests. Good to see you, brother. Nice to finally meet your wife. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. You think about this very carefully. Our first instinct would be to just answer, yeah. But think about this very carefully. How many of you are free this morning? I mean free. I mean free from any guilt, any shame, any condemnation, self-condemnation. Today's the day we celebrate freedom, amen? And the enemy loves to bring residual things back and keep us in bondage, keep us under his thumb. And yet the Word says, the living Word says, who he has set free is free indeed. He made the way. God's plan and Jesus' obedience to that plan made the way for us to be free in every aspect of our life. Religion has kept us oppressed. The thought that God has something against us or he holds things against us hold us back. Amen? And so this morning we need to think about that. And this morning, we need to contemplate and make the decision that we not only are going to be free, but we are free. Amen? Once and for all. Religion, tradition, and theology has put a snare in front of us that binds us and holds us and keeps us from having the full potential that we want to have, that we need to have for God's purpose and plan. Amen? Feelings of self, you know, low self-esteem. Feelings of, you know, but look at all the mistakes I've made. And we need to understand that when Jesus paid that price, that he took all of that on him. There is no residual. There is no looking back. There is nothing back there. In God's eyes, there is no record of any wrongdoing. It was all taken and nailed to the cross on Jesus. Amen? So this morning, I'll just give my message title away. Let freedom reign. Amen? Not only ring, but let it reign in you. Freedom cost. This freedom cost. And the freedom that we have in this country cost blood. But the accomplishment was great. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So think about that this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, we just give ourselves to you. We release ourselves to you. And we're here for one purpose, to bring honor and glory to you. Have your way and your will. Help me, Lord. With these lips, stammering tongue, Lord, bring forth your word this morning. And Lord, right now, before any of that, we want to enter into your presence. We want to worship you. We want to praise you. We want to give honor to you this morning with all of our being, to thank you, to give you honor and glory for the freedom that we know. Not just the physical freedom of living in this nation, Lord, but the freedom of knowing that we have been released from everything that would try to bring us down and that would have brought condemnation into our life. It's been done away. It's been washed and cleansed by the blood. And those ordinances, those laws are no longer in effect in our lives. We have been made free and we give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. And all who agree, amen. Praise you, Lord. Father, this morning, we right now corporately in unity, Lord, in unison together, Lord, we give ourselves to you. We open our hearts and our minds to receive from you what you have, Lord. Once again, Lord, I surrender to you. Help me, Lord, bring forth your word. Holy Spirit, I depend on you. I am not adequate, but you are. You're more than enough, Lord. So I thank you this morning as the word goes forth that it will liberate, set free, bring joy where there's been despair, bring freedom where there's been bondage, and that the spiritual eyes will be illuminated so that they'll see, we'll all see, Lord, starting right here, exactly what you've done that is paid for and the fallacies of tradition and religion, Lord. Now, Lord, This is your time. These are your people. And we thank you, Lord, for sealing your word in their hearts, Lord. And for changing us, directing us, and correcting us, Lord. Causing edification and comfort and exhortation to take place in this house this morning. In Jesus' name, and for His honor and glory, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I very much am still excited and reeling from the time that we spent with Stan and Connie. I got to tell you, there was ministry that took place. Well, I give honor to them for being obedient, but the real honor goes to the Lord, that He can raise up people who are unrelenting in their walk of faith. And as a result, God can use them and has used them to build our faith and to make changes in us as the Word is spoken into our lives. Amen. I tell you what, a lot of things that were spoken and said are still absolutely just going over and over in my mind. And part of that is what came this morning because of what's happened in me. I want to start, first of all, you know, at the beginning I said, how many here are free? And I can tell you honestly, I'm not sure I know anybody. And one of the things that was admitted to me, you know, sometimes we look at people who are strong in faith and who have dynamic ministries as nothing touches them. Oh, that's not true. They have the same struggles that you and I do. How many know what I'm saying? Amen? The point is that when those things come, we need to understand and rely on the Word. And one of the things we need to do is we need to put off the former and take on the new. Now, that's a complete... Let me say it this way. That is an ongoing process. Being washed by the water of the Word, renewing our mind. It didn't just happen one time. It's a continual process throughout our whole lives. And one of the things that I'm aware of, one of the things that probably many of you know that I've struggled with, and I know that you've struggled with, some of us still are, and I want to see that end. That's what God wants. God paid a terrible price to redeem us. Now, what does that mean, redeem us? Make us free. Set us free. That's probably the major part of redemption, is setting us free. Free from what? Free from sin. Free from shame. Free from guilt. Free from lies that have been spoken over you. You hear what I'm saying? Both by people and well-meaning, but bless their darling hearts and mixed up minds, ignorant people. And a lot of that comes from religious tradition and religion. We get the idea because of the way we've been treated as people, sometimes by parents, sometimes by peers, sometimes by teachers, by counselors, by even pastors. We think that God's okay as long as you don't mess up, and then He's waiting with a big stick to beat you down. And yet if we read part of the very scripture that says, that talks about our salvation, that God loved the whole world so much, I don't know where we got the idea that didn't include us. I think I'm standing on this earth. And so that means me. But He goes on to say in the very next verse that He didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. One of the things we need to understand is the fact that Jesus paid a complete and total price. And He took everything that you're not, every place that you failed, everything that you've done wrong, and that was nailed to the tree. He took it on Himself. He bore that. The water and the blood that came from His side, the blood that was shed as the thorns were put on His head, the bruises and stripes that He bore was for a total package. Now, I don't know about you, I've spent my whole Christian life knowing this and yet not walking in the freedom that God has given us. Thinking all I got to do is make one mistake and then it's all over. Well, honey, I got a question for you. If all it takes is one mistake, then which of us here has hope? And part of the reason we've got that silly thinking, or that stinking thinking, as they say in some Christian circles, is because we have not been taught properly. He told us who He sets free is free indeed. Now, think about this for a moment. Free indeed. That means indeed we're free, but it also means free in your deeds. Because which of us, when we're born again, has a propensity or has a desire to continue to do morally wrong or even physically wrong things? We make mistakes, but that doesn't change God's mind. Because He only sees us. Man, we read some of this stuff for years. And we still walk in the same bondages. Low self-esteem. I'm a worm. I'm worthless. Come on now, y'all know what I'm talking about. I've done so many things wrong, God couldn't tie it outside. It's a lie. It's a lie. You need to start declaring with your mouth the truth, not the lie. Don't dwell on what you don't have or where your mistakes are. Dwell on the truth that you have been made free in Christ. Galatians 5:1. By the way, our good friend at Friendly Ford had this on his sign this morning. And since it tied right in with my message, by the way, my message was, let freedom ring, but I'm going to say, let freedom reign. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Amen? Hallelujah. Galatians 5:1. I'm going to read it from the Amplified. In this freedom, Christ, which means the Anointed One, has made us free. Now listen, and completely liberated us. Stand fast, then, and do not be hampered and held ensnared and submit again to the yoke of slavery which you have once put off. See, these kind of thoughts and these kind of emotions and things are slavery. They're bondage. They're binding you on this earth. They're holding you back from operating in the freedom and the joy and the exuberance that God wants to flow from your life. Why? So you can touch others. So that others will see that you have a joy. You're not held down by the nonsense and the garbage that's been taught and told and spoken over your life. You've been set free. And whom the Lord has set free is free indeed. That means in your deed and indeed. Finished. Done. Amen? Missed a good place to shout. Turn with me to Romans 8. I had several passages there that I wanted to, or several scriptures there, but I just think I want to read probably about the first 15 verses and talk about them. How many times we've read this, we've mulled over this, and still missed it. Still missed it. With what I've said so far, keep this in mind as we read and go through these scriptures. I believe God wants to set you free, completely free, from all the old, mind renewed, washed by the water of the Word, amen? So that you never again get snared in the nonsense that the enemy tells you. When you make a mistake, man, nobody's harder on themselves than me when I make a mistake. Bill, you bleeping, you know what I'm saying. Don't look at me like you never did that, because I know better. And if you didn't, we'll pray for your pride in a minute. I realized that without Him, I am in trouble. I was in trouble, but I'm not in trouble anymore. Did you hear me? You and I are not in trouble anymore. And anything that comes to tell us otherwise, whether it's, I don't care what it is, let's don't even name it, whatever it is, tie it outside, because it's not true. It's not the truth of God, and it's not the truth in your life. Because of what? You have been redeemed and purchased by the blood and the bruises and stripes, which means you have soundness of mind. You have healing. You have redemption. You have wisdom. You have insight. You know the mind of God. Amen? And you have the handbook that will keep you on the right place. But remember this, that's not the final writings of God. He's still writing on yours and my heart today. He's giving new revelation. He's giving new insight. Amen? And that's what we need to keep going. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How many have ever limited that to just what's written here? I have. Romans 8:1. Therefore, the first thing you want to do is look and see what the therefore is there for. Moving right along. There is, right now, no condemnation. No adjudging guilty of wrong for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live and walk not after the dictates of the flesh, but after the dictates of the Spirit. What motivates and drives you in your life today? We sometimes get tangled up in a little fleshy thing, but that's easily put off because we have a desire in our hearts that came from turning our lives over to God to serve Him. Didn't the Bible say, old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new? Glory, glory. But after the dictates of the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, the anointed Jesus, the law of our new being, has freed me, has freed you from the law of sin and death. When you're born again, you can no longer walk under the sin of law and death, or under the law of death, which means you've been exonerated, you've been set free. He said, I'll remind you again, think about this, that the handwriting of ordinances or the laws that were broken, that there was record of, okay, the record that you had in the courts of heaven is no longer there, completely blotted out. You've received a pardon from the highest authority in the land. It beats the mayor, the governor, and the president of the United States or of any country. It far exceeds that. Amen? You've been exonerated and set free. And there's not even a record of what you did in the former life, because that person doesn't even live anymore. Right? For God has done what the law could not do, its power being weakened by the flesh. The entire nature of man without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what keeps us going, is what brings revelation, brings comfort, brings exhortation. Amen? The Holy Spirit is the fulfillment of the Logos, or the written word, the spoken word. Because Jesus said, if I go, I will send another. I will send the Comforter. And then He told us what He would do. Amen? Lead us into truth. Comfort us. Guide us. Teach us in all things. In all things. In all things. Hallelujah. Sending His own Son in the guise of sinful flesh and as an offering for sin. God condemned sin in the flesh. God condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned yours and my sin, our disobedience, our wrongdoing, and lawlessness in the flesh of Jesus on that cross. And it was done once and for all. Or as Jesus said when He cried out, it is finished. It's finished. And we need to start saying every day, so be it. Amen. It's done. It's done. It is finished. He subdued and overcame the sin of the flesh, deprived it of its power over all who accept that sacrifice. Does that include you? Yes. If it didn't, you wouldn't be here today. If you didn't believe that, you wouldn't be here today. Amen? Glory. Those little things that irritate you, that other people do, that you know are inside you, He's done away with all that. He doesn't see you as a spiritual cripple. He sees you whole and completely covered by His blood, filled with His power, filled with His Spirit, filled with His glory, to do the works of God. You're not inferior or substandard. You are superior and way above standard. You hear me? You need to start confessing that. Why? Because the greater one dwells within you. And it's because of His righteousness that you're right. You have right standing with God. Amen? It's because of His grace and mercy, His unmerited favor, that you can stand and that we can say this. Paul saw and had the revelation, even though he... In fact, it wasn't Paul, it was Saul. It was the former man who was dead at the moment he received Christ into his life. And when they came to him to accuse him, he said, I've never done those things. He had revelation, amen? We need to say that. When the lies and the thoughts come, those things that try to bring us down, we need to stand in the freedom we've been given and say, not me, not me. Like Donna said earlier, not me, I'm not having it. I'm not having it. I don't care what the symptoms are. The problem with is most folks that are Christians or call themselves Christians is a bunch of wusses. They won't stand up. They won't say, not here. I were one. Not anymore. Verse 4, so that the righteous and just requirement of the law might be fully met in us, in you and I, who live and move not in the ways of the flesh. How many of you get up in the morning and say, well, I think I'm just going to do whatever I feel good, what feels good to me this morning? Or how many of you, when you wake up, the first thought on your mind is, God, what's up? What's going on today? I love you, Lord. Stan said something to me that absolutely blew me away. So simple. I know it. And yet, for the first time in my life, it hit me right between the eyes. You really can't share with others or preach what you don't believe, what's not operating in your life. You can't talk about freedom when there's none in yours. Amen? If you're not free, what are you going to offer to somebody else? You can talk to your blue in the face. People want to see. I remember telling a man one time, I can't, you know, your words speak so loud or your actions speak so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. I heard his words, but I rejected them because they weren't spirit, they weren't life, and they weren't from the giver of life. They were nonsense. I didn't reject him. I rejected the words and the lifestyle that he was leading. At no time did I ever want to see that person fail or walk away. Unfortunately, he made that choice. Not me, but God. Amen. Let me read that again. So the law, so the righteous and just requirements of the law might be fully met, nothing left out, in us who live and move not in the ways of the flesh, but in the ways of the Spirit. In other words, our lives governed not by the standards and according to the dictates of the flesh, but controlled by the Holy Spirit. The standards and dictates of the flesh. That's the little darts that the enemy throws. You missed it. You made a mistake. That's why we have to have the whole armor of God all the time. Not just to deflect, but to reach out, violently grab and extinguish those fiery darts, because they come to steal and kill and destroy. And whose character is that? There's only one person who has character like that. The liar and the father of all lies. Amen? And the enemy. That's right, Patrick. Our lives are now governed by the Spirit of God. Even if something happens that affects you to where you get off track for a moment or two and start having some silly thoughts, you need to grab a hold of those. Like the Word says, Jesus told us, you take captive those thoughts and bring them under the obedience of Christ, and you cast them down and all the vain imaginations. What's a vain imagination? Anything that's contrary to what God says, that you are healed, you are whole, you are free, you are bright, you are mentally stable. Amen? You have what the Father says you have. He does meet your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Stop looking at what you don't see, what you don't think you have, or what you're missing, and see what God has given you, and watch Him come up. He's the CEO. If there's something going on, let me tell you what happened to me. A battle here recently, really recently. And in the process of everything that was going on, God graciously blessed me, but the enemy stepped up and he tried to steal. Well, he stole from me. My car was broke down, I needed some help. And in the process of everything going on, all the commotion, Stan Connie being in town and everything, I forgot completely, but not that I could have done anything about it anyway, and I even forgot to call. And I know better than that. Those people are good people where I live. But I forgot to call them. Somebody comes and knocks on my door. I didn't recognize them. Of course, I'm thinking about other things, you know, getting the car fixed, people who are coming to help and stuff. And my car gets towed. More money that was not in my pocket at the time. So what do you do with that? $192. Money that you didn't have. You know what you do? You take the bill and you say, okay, Lord, you supply all of my need according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And you're the one who enforces the enemy to return sevenfold out of the goods of his house when he steals from me. He's not only stole from me, he stole from God. You understand? He stole from God. So here it is, Lord. And because it's his riches, you stand back. The manifestation's already mine, folks. It's mine. Amen? Same thing as that gentleman who was had the big growth on his face. Went to that meeting. Got healed the first day. The healing was his the first day. Did the growth go away? No. Finally, by Saturday, all of these great Christian people were saying, you're not healed! And he kept saying, yes, I am healed. And the last day he walked in, and that growth was gone, and they didn't hardly recognize him. Because he grabbed a hold of it in faith, and he didn't let go. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. He didn't just set you free, he made you free. Woo! For those who are according to the flesh, and for those who are according to the flesh and controlled by its unholy desires, set their minds and pursue the things which gratify the flesh. But those who are according to the Spirit, verse 5, and are controlled by the desires of the Spirit, set their minds and seek those things which gratify the Holy Spirit. That's you and I. That's you and I. Y'all need to say, that's me. That's me. You see, I know your hearts. I see them through the eyes of God, through the eyes of Jesus. And your hearts are to serve the Lord. Are you going to have a hiccup or a mistake or stumble? Yes. But then a righteous man falls seven times and rises up again. You are a free person in God. Amen? You're a free person in God. What does that mean? That means that even though you make a mistake, you're not and you strip and fall, you need to remember, first of all, to forgive yourself, walk in that forgiveness, walk in the joy of the Lord, and release it, and forgive yourself 70 times, seven times. If you want to know how many times, let's start with 70 times, seven times. Now, I wish I could say that that just came off my tongue, that I quoted that, but that's a quote from Stan when he was visiting with me. Powerful words that minister to me. You need to start by forgiving yourself 70 times, seven times. A righteous man falls how many times? Seven times, but he rises up again. But he rises up again. Why? Because there is now, therefore, no condemnation. Christ didn't come in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And this is the condemnation that's come on the world, that they didn't believe in the Son of God. Now that's paraphrased a little bit, but you look it up in John 3:17 and 18 and 19. And of course, the previous verse is God loved the whole world. He's got this same gifts and plan for the whole world. But once again, he wants them to come to him. He's already sought them out and surrender. They have the choice. We've made our choice, folks. This is one bed we've made, and I don't mind lying in it. Amen? How about you? Thank you, Lord. Verse 6. Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason. Boy, that'll get you in trouble in a hurry. You start listening to sense and reason, and you're headed down the path to get deceived and get in trouble quick. Lose all your joy, lose all your freedom, because you're going to get snared. How many of you have seen those little traps that they used to do? You know, they take a tree and bend it down, tie the little loop in it and everything, put it down there, and somebody steps in it. Next thing you know, they're hanging upside down, you know. You know, and that's what the enemy does. He takes those things, your senses and reason. Dear God. You know, can I tell you something? We'd do well if we just flat lost our minds in God. Are you hearing me? Lose your mind in God. The Bible says what you lose for His sake you'll find, but what you try to keep, which means your life, you'll lose it. You'll lose it. That's not just physical life. That's every aspect. Amen?
Praise the Lord.
Now the mind of the flesh, which is sense and reason without the Holy Spirit. I forgot to add that part in. That sense and reason without the Holy Spirit is death. Oh, we missed a good place to say amen there. You all know that. death that compromises all the misery arising from sin. Sin, unbelief. You didn't walk in what you know God's given you. You didn't walk in the knowledge that God's given you. You got caught in one of those snares and you're hanging upside down. But you know what? You're not unequipped because you've got the sword of the Spirit. Whack that line. Whack that line. Amen? That's why you never leave home without your armor. Forget American Express. Never leave home without your armor. Both here and hereafter. But the mind of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, is life and soul peace, both now and forever. Yeah. Glory to God. Man, we get all this in heaven too, folks. My Scotch grandmother would have said, "Are you no glad you live here?" That is because the mind of the flesh, with its carnal thoughts, verse 7, and purposes, is hostile to God. For it does not submit itself to God's law, indeed cannot. How many know the things of this life, or the flesh, is enmity with God? So then those who are living a life of flesh, So then those who are living the life of flesh, catering. Liz, did you hear that? You have to cater to those thoughts. You have to entertain those thoughts, those things. To the appetites and impulses of their carnal nature, cannot please or satisfy God or be acceptable to Him. Did you get that? Can I just tell you something? Will you receive this? You're going to have to receive this by faith. So then those who are living the life of the flesh, catering to the appearance and to the appetites and principle and impulses of the carnal nature, cannot please God or be acceptable to Him. I had a thought there. You'll have to pray that the Holy Spirit brings it back to my mind. But anyway, we'll move right along. Verse 9. But you are not living. Listen. Here it is right here. But you are not living the life of the flesh. You are living the life of the Spirit. If the Holy Spirit of God really dwells within you, directs and controls you, but if anyone does not possess the Holy Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And he does not belong to Christ, nor is truly a child of God. Now listen to me. What does the Word say about you and I when the Word came to us? That the Word was sealed in us, and we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of doubt, of anguish, of wrong thinking. Come on, somebody knows the right answer. Of promise. What promise is there if all of a sudden you start having a problem with a thought that the enemy's tried to snare you with, and all of a sudden you're just stuck there? You need to speak the Word. You need to take that sword of the Spirit, that shield of faith. Remember that your feet are shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. Because at the moment you get snared, fear sets in. Amen. Yes, amen. Fear sets in. And that takes your attention away from truth and freedom and puts you in a place of bondage. And we're not to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, what I'm telling you is not just up to your, it's up to your choice, but it's up to God through the Holy Spirit to enforce that in your life. Are you with me? It's up to God through the Holy Spirit to enforce that in your life. You're not just out there hanging. Aren't we co-laborers? Isn't He a co-laborer with us? That's why He gave the Holy Spirit. Amen? Verse 10. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. Let me read that one more time. But if Christ lives in you, then although your natural body is dead by reason of sin and guilt, the Spirit is alive because of the righteousness that He imputes to you. Folks, remember 2 Timothy 2:15. I am a new creation in Christ. I'm a new species or being that never before existed. The old things have passed away, and all things, except for just this little corner in your life, that's not changed. No. All things have become new. Your mind has started in the process of being renewed right then and there. The desire to be in the Word starts right then and there. The desire to walk with God and to serve God starts right then and there. You've already taken care of it. David was a man after God's heart because he quickly acknowledged and confessed his sin. He didn't dwell in it. He went through some pretty extreme actions to show his disdain for what he had done by ripping off his clothes and sitting in sackcloth and ashes and lamenting. But the point is, he was quick to repent, which God said gave us the record that he is a man after God's own heart, because he saw, he repented, and he turned away from what he had done wrong. How many mistakes did he make in his lifetime? We're not going to go there this time. We haven't got time. Verse 11. And of the spirit of him, of who? Christ Jesus. Or the spirit of who? The Holy Spirit of God. Raised up Jesus from the dead. Dwells in you. That means remains constant in you. Lives in you. Abides in you. Then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore life to your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. You know, it amazes me how it's almost like we have a light switch or a power switch in ourselves. We're fine as long as everything's going good, but the minute there's one little thing that you know, gets us off kilter, the switch goes off, and I mean, it's like all of a sudden the flow of God is just gone. And we're wandering around in the mud, mully grubs, you know, complaining and crying and whining, you know. We need to disconnect that switch. Amen? We need to completely do away with it. Direct wire it, hot wire it. Is that right terms, Harry? So then, brethren, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are not obligated to our carnal nature. Why? Because we're now seen through the eyes of Jesus and seen only through the blood that was shed. Once again, if you need to, run to the foot of that cross. Take a dip in that pool of blood and see what gets through that blood from the enemy. That's right. Nothing. Glory to God. So then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh. We are not obligated to the carnal, to our carnal nature, to live a life ruled by standards set up by the dictates of the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. When you cut off the power source, which is the engine and the generator or alternator in your car, to the battery, what happens to the battery? Now, ladies, if you don't know, I'll just tell you. When you do that, what happens is the battery, even though it may be healthy, maybe even brand new, slowly begins to drain. For some of you men who may not know, it slowly begins to drain. And the life goes out of that battery. Why? Because the power source has been cut off. We need to stay connected to the power source. We need to stay connected to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We need to stay connected to the Holy Spirit, the one who continually restores that power, rejuvenates us. How? By the washing of the water of the Word. By your confession. Not your negative confession, your positive confession. Amen? For if you live according to the dictates of the flesh, you will surely die. But if through the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death, habitually, not a one-time event, habitually putting to death or making extinct, deadening the evil deeds or thoughts prompted by the body, you shall really and genuinely live forever. Do you feel like you're living when you're in bondage of any kind? I don't feel like I'm living. While I can't say that I can tell you in the flesh, but spiritually I can tell you, I think I know what it means to go around Mount Sinai for 40 years. Right there in front of me, it's right there. But bless my darling heart and mixed up mine, I never quite got the picture. Or never quite seemed to get the total picture. I get bits and pieces of it. Praise the Lord, that's better than nothing. How about you? You will really and genuinely live forever. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are what? sons of God. When does a father ever reject his son or his child? Son does not mean gender specific. It means mankind. For the spirit which you have now received is not a spirit of slavery to put you once more in bondage to fear. So if the spirit you've received is not sent to put you in bondage to fear or to make you a slave, then why do things so easily enslave us? Migraine headaches. I remember Jerry Savelle preached a message one time and said, if the devil can't steal your joy, he can't keep your goods. We're supposed to take joyfully the spoiling of our goods. Well, then the enemy, he really got me good. How many of you could afford to just throw away $192? Well, I didn't throw it away. The enemy stole it. And God's obligated to bring it back. By his word, not because of I'm so great, because he has any special obligation to me, but he does have a special obligation to me, just like he does you through the word. His promise, which doesn't change, and he's no respecter of persons. Amen? He is obligated. Who obligated him? Not you and I. He obligated himself, because he can't lie. He said everything else would pass away, but his word would stand forever. His word is his bond. Amen? But you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of producing sonship, in the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. And that word Abba just means Father, Daddy God. Let me ask you a question. When you were a child, who did you run to? Smashed your finger? A bully was picking on you? Who did you run to? Yeah, Dad. Why would you not do the same with God? Why would you just sit down and say, now what am I going to do? Trust God? Believe in God? Stand, having done all to stand, stand, amen, knowing that God's not a liar, it's impossible for his promises to fail, it's impossible for him to fail. You're going to walk in freedom, amen. You have been made free. You're walking in freedom. The shedding of blood is what purchased your freedom in this country and maintained it, and it's the shedding of blood that bought your spiritual freedom and made you a new creation. A one with power and authority, dominion, which God gave you. How many have considered that recently? That you have dominion in this earth because God gave it to you. And when Jesus died, he restored that to you. He didn't just give it to Adam, he gave it to mankind. Amen? John 8:36. We're getting ready to close here. A couple more scriptures. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We've talked about that. Now, it's interesting that there's two different words, free here. They're just a number apart in the concordance, in the Strong's. Therefore, if the Son makes you free is 1659. And therefore, what it means is if the Son sets at liberty from the dominion of sin, sets you free from the dominion of sin and at liberty, you shall be free, and that's 1658, the previous number, indeed. Or you shall be one who ceases to be a slave, free, exempt, unrestrained, and not bound by any obligation. Now we know we're not talking about God. Gene, you're not a slave anymore. Amen. Amen. None of us here are slaves. Marie, you're not a slave anymore. You're not a slave anymore. I think personally what we've seen this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit is that God sees us only through eyes of love, compassion, and with positive thoughts, not negative thoughts. How many of you have been in a situation where mom or dad or somebody around you, your boss or somebody says, oh dear God, here we go again? Because we're right back in some place that just... And you know, we're not. How many remember the little song the kids used to sing at Sunday school? Careful little eyes what you see. Careful little ears what you hear. Careful little hands what you do and little mouth what you speak. Make your confession in God. Make your confession in God. You are. You need to say constantly, every day, until it gets down inside, and even after you're done and it's down inside, say it every day. I am a child of God. I have been redeemed. I am free. Free from sin, from guilt, from doubt, from fear, from torment, from bondage of any kind, from financial bondage. Amen? You're free. You're free indeed. Now let your deeds show that you're free. Finally, in that, the third part of that 1658, the last three in that verse, free from the yoke of the Mosaic law. That's all they had back then, folks. But we're in a new dispensation. We're now under a new covenant, where blood, the final blood, has covered us, made us free, purchased us. And now we have a right to, and we have an obligation to walk in the freedom that was purchased. Amen? Freedom. Once again, closing with Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Sin and death. Doubt, unbelief, poverty, sickness, mental instability, all the cares. You know, he tells us in the Word, he said, I have set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. And then he tells us, cast all of your cares on me, because I care for you. All of your cares. Jesus asked the question, or the Word asked the question, which of you by reason of worry can change one inch of your stature? Can't be done. Can't be done. Worry does not accomplish anything except make you sick, make you doubt, tear you down. And what did Jesus come to do? What did the Holy Spirit come to do? To build you up, to edify, to exhort, to comfort you. What comfort is there in doubt, torment, fear, and cares? I made my choice. I'm making my choice every day to cast all of that on the Lord. I don't know how God's going to restore the money that was stolen and all the things that have happened in the recent couple of years or whatever. I don't care. I just know it's going to happen. It's mine. It's mine. I'm telling you right now, folks, it's mine. Just like that guy. It may not be in my hand right now, but man, that thing, I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm free. And you watch, one of these days, that growth's going to go away. And that manifestation's going to come. Why? Because He's faithful to perform His Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. Our ancestors paid a horrible price to purchase our freedom and to maintain it. Still today, they're shedding blood to preserve that freedom. Jesus did it once and for all, folks. Once and for all. Paid a horrible price. Why? Because He loved you. Because the Father created you and loved you. Put no addendums on it. Put no strings on it. He just said, believe in me. And though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Believing in me, believe in me. And though you were dead, you shall live. That death doesn't mean just physical. It means every aspect of loss, theft, and confusion, and mental torment, physical torment. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I pray that you took your eyes off the one who delivered this message to you, but the one who inspired the message is what you're looking at. Amen. We need to see each other. Stan said last week we need to honor one another, but we need to see each other through the eyes of Jesus. You know, there's no disgust in Jesus. There's hatred for ungodliness, but you're not ungodly, because He's righteous. You're now righteous. Amen. Praise the Lord. You have right standing with God. Remember, He said, surely. And that's not a female name. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy will follow you. Some of the time. No. All the days of your life. Amen. Glory to God. Let's give Him praise this morning. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The author and finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Did you get any new insight this morning? I've gotten a mountain full. Praise the Lord, from when God started talking to me about this message. Praise the Lord. God is so good. We can sing with confidence, I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that He's living, whatever men may say. I see His hand of mercy. I hear His voice of cheer. And every time I need Him, or just the time I need Him, He's always near. He's right there. Amen? Hallelujah. If you need prayer this morning, come and get it. Don't let this day pass. Don't go home with the same thoughts that you came in with this morning. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's no shame in saying, you know what? I've kind of been there, done that. Maybe you're still doing it. There's no shame. I'll tell you what, I'd rather be free than sit in my chair in my pride. I've made up my mind. I want to be free. I want to be free. Amen? Let freedom reign this morning. Let freedom reign. Let that Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead make alive your mortal bodies. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I just got a picture of those who come, whether it's in their prayer time, in their closet, or in a corporate meeting like this, and cast all their cares on Him. And I just saw Jesus. That's my child. That's my brother. That's my sister. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Here they come. Priceless. Priceless. Is every heart clear this morning? Strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Gene, do you know I surrender all? Praise you, Lord.
freely give. Praise you, Lord. Love and trust Him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all again. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. Thank you for your presence here. Thank you for quickening us, Lord, making alive our mortal bodies in your word, in your wisdom, your insight. Now, Lord, once again, we thank you that the word fell on fertile soil, Lord, on ground that's ready to receive the seed, Lord, and it's bringing forth fruit. Is beginning to bring forth fruit even now, Lord, in its season. Thank you, Father, for ministering to us this morning using a weak and feeble vessel, Lord. But it's your choice and your command, Lord. I surrendered. Now we seal this word. You seal this word by the Holy Spirit, Lord, in every heart. We thank you for it. We praise you for it. And now, Lord, we thank you for the fellowship that we're about to enter into, Lord, and the reason for it. We pray that this day would be blessed for all, but especially for Donna and Patrick. And thank you, Lord, for creating a miracle, Lord, to set her free and bring her back to Patrick and to us on this day of independence, Lord. And now we declare with joy, excitement, and exuberance, our independence and our freedom from sin and shame and struggles, and our freedom that we have in you as we enter in to life, life, and that more abundantly. We give you praise. Amen.